Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
On the last day of a Jewish festival, the great day, Jesus stood up and he proclaimed, "If anyone thirsts, let them come to me and drink. Let them drink who believes in me. As Scripture says, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water." Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit, which those who believed in him were to receive. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We're filming this at Holy Name Retreat Center in Houston. We're in the beautiful chapel here. People come from all over Texas, Louisiana, to come here to receive the Lord in a beautiful way, to hear talks about God's love for them. And outside the chapel are all these beautiful pine trees that we have, acres and acres of it. We only have one small problem. It's a beautiful place, but the problem is we've got these squirrels running up and down the trees, and they run in front of the people, and it's kind of a, we call it a pesky squirrel problem. And I heard about these three churches that had an ecumenical meeting trying to decipher how to get rid of these squirrels at their churches. There were the Presbyterians, the Lutherans, and the Catholics. And the Lutherans decided at the meeting that they would trap the squirrels, which they did, and they brought them out very humanely, about a mile or two, and they let them go. But about a week later, all the squirrels were back, so that really wasn't much of a solution. The Presbyterians had a solution, and I don't know if you know anything about their theology, but they have this doctrine of predestination. And their solution was, well, after all, God predestined those squirrels to be there. We better leave them alone. So really, that wasn't much of a solution. The Catholics came up with the best solution. They decided to baptize and confirm the squirrels. Now they only see them on Christmas and Easter. And I laugh about that because, to be honest with you, I used to be a Christmas and Easter Catholic. And what that means is during my teenage years, I was born and brought up Catholic in Massachusetts, but during my teenage years, I fell away from the church. And the only time I would really go to church was during Christmas and Easter when all the relatives were there. I used to be one of those people that stood at the back wall and, along with everybody else. And we never went to church other than that. Well, I remember in high school, this is after I had fallen away from the church, and like I said, just went on Christmas and Easter like many people do. In high school, I had many classes, and one of the classes that I had was a class in speech, a speech class. And I could choose any topic that I wanted to speak on in front of the class and the teacher, and I was going to be graded on it. Well, the particular subject that I chose is what I guess I believed at that time because it sounded good. I chose to talk about reincarnation. And if you've never heard of it, and I'm sure you have though, but it's that doctrine that when you die, if you're not perfected, you come back again. And you keep progressing and improving and coming back again life after life until finally you get perfected and you're worthy of heaven. And it's a doctrine that sounds good, and I wanted it to be true because it gave me an out that even though I wasn't perfect and even though I could live a sinful life, I had a way of redemption, reincarnation. Well, I remember I gave the talk in class and looked at everybody and talked about reincarnation and how it's possibly true, and I think it would be good if everybody would be reincarnated and everything. And you know what I got for a grade on that? They gave me a C-. And they said, "I lack passion." Thing I thought to myself was, oh good, well at least I know what I'm not going to be in my life. I'm not going to be a public speaker. Well, after that, I got into college. And I got in touch with the source of passion. the Holy Spirit. You see, what happened to me was, when I was in college, I had a deep emptiness inside. Billy Graham calls this a cosmic loneliness, where you're hungry for something, you're looking for something. There's a depth that's missing. And nothing in life was satisfying me. I had relationships with girls and broke up, and you know, I had some money and car and partying and all that. But it wasn't fulfilling me, it wasn't satisfying me. And so I turned to the God of my youth, the God that I had fallen away from. And after some time, and it didn't happen right away, but after some time, I experienced what some called baptism in the Holy Spirit, or being filled with the Holy Spirit, or being anointed with the Holy Spirit, or I like the word a release. Notice what I'm doing with my hands, a release with the Holy Spirit. See, because Jesus said that those who believe in him, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. From within, the Holy Spirit will flow and touch you. So it's really not good theology to say that the Holy Spirit comes down, and because God is omnipresent. In other words, God is everywhere. And one of the corollaries to this talk is, and I want you to try to understand this, is that you already have the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's already within you. But what needs to happen is there needs to be an awakening or a new birth or a new consciousness with, a new awareness of the Holy Spirit. And this is what I teach in my books. If you've heard me before on some of my TV programs, I've talked about the Holy Spirit. And that what I came to realize when I was baptized with the Holy Spirit, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, what I came to realize is that this Holy Spirit had always been with me. I just didn't know it. I had tasted the glory before, the goosebumps and the chills running up and down my spine. I just didn't know that that was the Holy Spirit, that that was the feeling of glory, the glory of God. And so when I had this awakening with the Holy Spirit, drenched with the grace of God, felt the glory and the goosebumps and the chills and everything else in a powerful way, then I came to realize that, hey, I had that all along, I just didn't know it. So what I always teach people is that everybody has the Holy Spirit, whether you're Catholic, Protestant, Buddhist, Muslim, atheist, agnostic. The Spirit of God dwells in you by reason of your conception. See, it was God who gave you life, and he anointed you with his Spirit. You have the spark of the divine within you. But what needs to happen is there has to be this release, this awakening. Otherwise, you'll have the Spirit all your life, and you'll never know the person of God. You'll never know the power of God. And that's tragic. And that's what hell is. Hell is having God all your life and not knowing it, then dying and realizing what you missed. And heaven, on the other hand, can begin now with a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and then when you die, you just continue on. Jesus talked about eternal life, and eternal life is knowing God now, and it continues in heaven. And I want you to know that Jesus came so that you may have life, and life abundant. This is John 10:10. This is his job description. So some of you that are watching by TV watch me all the time. Others of you just tuned in and you're wondering who this Catholic priest is. Well, I've been on TV now for many years and proclaiming the gospel throughout the country. And the Holy Spirit is one of my favorite topics. And perhaps you're feeling an emptiness inside or something's not right. That's one of the feelings that the Spirit gives you, as Billy Graham said, a cosmic loneliness. So that you will seek and find, and God will touch you. And one of the truths that I found out is that, you know, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is knowledge, and another one is understanding, and another one is wisdom. So when the Spirit came into me, I came to understand that this doctrine of reincarnation that I wanted to believe when I was a young person because it sounded so good is a complete and utter lie. It's a deception to try to make people think that I can live any way I want to live because then when I die, I'll be reincarnated and come back. The Bible says that you die once, and then comes the judgment. This is truth. You know, if reincarnation was true, don't you think Jesus would have taught it? Don't you think at least one of the saints, out of the hundreds and hundreds of canonized saints, don't you think one of them at least would have talked about it? None of them do. And don't you think the church, with its 2,000-year tradition, would uphold it? So none of the saints ever taught it. The church certainly refutes it, and Jesus never taught it. Reincarnation is a total lie. And if some of you are hoping in that or believing in that, I'm asking you to let that go. See, it's not reincarnation, it's resurrection. It's not reincarnation, it's the incarnation. It's not reincarnation, it's rebirth that we need. You see, I have a problem with people that are Catholic, that go to church, and they believe in the gospel and reincarnation, just in case. They believe in the gospel and the New Age movement, just to be open. They believe in reincarnation and psychics, because we've got to make use of everything that is. No. Jesus doesn't need psychics, and he doesn't need reincarnation, and he doesn't need the New Age movement. Maybe you don't think I'm tolerant, but the scriptures tell us about orthodoxy and sound doctrine and tradition and the fullness of truth. That's what the gospel is. It's never needed all these window dressings. It's never needed Eastern religions. It's never needed all these other things. The gospel stands alone. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Please, I pray that through this program you will see the splendor of truth and you will come to realize the absolute positive light and truth that I am proclaiming to you today. I want to tell you about a young man who lived a playboy life, who cohabitated, bore a son, dabbled in Eastern religions. No, I'm not talking about me. But all the while when he did this, living this playboy life and cohabitating and having a child out of wedlock, dabbling in Eastern religions, all the while his mother, Monica, was praying for him. And some of you know who I'm about to talk to you about. This young man was searching, and he was looking like many of you are and like many people are. And he dabbled in all these different things, looking for life, looking for happiness. Well, one day he met a bishop, St. Ambrose, who taught him the truth about Jesus, the resurrection, the Holy Spirit, eternal life, sound doctrine. And it resonated with his heart. And the young man, Augustine, went through a wonderful conversion, and he became one of the greatest doctors and saints of our Catholic Church. Of course, I'm talking about St. Augustine. He searched and he looked, and finally he found. And so some of you are on a journey of searching. Even if you go to church, you're searching and looking. Continue to search. The Bible says that the beginning of wisdom is the desire to learn. And I believe it's that desire, that hunger, that thirst that God creates in us to draw us to himself. Well, St. Augustine wrote many learned volumes, and he also wrote some poetry, some prose. He wrote this prose called "Late Have I Loved You," and I love this. Listen. "Late have I loved you, O beauty ever ancient, ever new. Late have I loved you. You were within me, but I was outside, and it was there that I searched for you. In my unloveliness, I plunged into the lovely things that you had created. You were with me, but I was not with you. Created things kept me from you. You called. You shouted. You broke through my deafness. You flashed. You shone. You dispelled my blindness. You breathed your fragrance on me. I drew in breath, and now I pant for you. I have tasted you, and now I hunger and thirst for more. You touched me, and now I burn for your peace." What a beautiful piece of work from St. Augustine. You see, most of us have this love affair with the world instead of loving the one who created the world. Our life is so full of idols that what we need to do is center on the one who is true, the one true God. That's what we have always upheld in the Catholic Church, that God is one, that there's one true God, not multiple gods, not all kinds of different ways. Jesus is the way. And really, in St. Augustine's life, in my life, and in some of your lives, you have found, and I have found out, that God is the hound of heaven. An English mystic named Francis Thompson once wrote prose that was called The Hound of Heaven, and it goes that God is like a dog, a hound that chases after us, not to condemn us, but to love us. And he uses all kinds of people and circumstances, events, TV programs, to chase after you and to draw you back out of your love affair for the world and into a love relationship with God, who created you in the first place. And there's a big difference. I've heard this quote that I really love. There's a big difference between religion and Christianity. Religion is our search for God, but Christianity is God's search for us. Think about Christmas, for example, Christmas morning, when we celebrate the birth of Jesus. It's God coming into our midst, the incarnation, not the reincarnation, the incarnation, God searching for us. And he searches for us through the Christ child. He searches for us through people, through TV programs, through animals, through creation, through books, through all kinds of different ways. Can you hear his voice? So St. Augustine had a wonderful conversion, and he was blessed, and he gave his heart to Jesus. It was beautiful. Now, some time ago, I preached at a charismatic convention in Lafayette, Louisiana. And, you know, the charismatic folks that gathered there, they love to hear about the Holy Spirit and, you know, the fire of the Holy Spirit and the outpouring of tongues and miracles and healings and, as I said, speaking in tongues and all these different things. And that's wonderful. But when I spoke to them, I talked about the Holy Spirit as more than a power, more than a force, and more than a phenomenon. The Holy Spirit is a person, the living person of God. What you have to understand is that the Holy Spirit is not just some power to make you feel good or to fulfill you or to make you better so that you can do things. More than anything else, the Holy Spirit is the person of God given to us so that we can live forever. It's the love of God, the Bible says, poured into our hearts. The love of God poured into our hearts. This is what we have been created for. So, like any person, think about this. We were made in God's image. We have a personality, a way to us. I remember there was a song out by Peter Frampton, a rock singer, "Oh Baby, I Love Your Way." Well, we all have a way because we're a person. We have a, you know, intelligence, a personality, a will, emotions. In the same way, the Spirit of God is a person who has a way. And you can come to know what the Spirit is like, the way of the Holy Spirit, as you spend time in getting to know the Holy Spirit. It has revolutionized my life, not it. The person of the Spirit has revolutionized my life. I never knew that you could have a love affair like this. And as I'll say in a little bit, our discipleship really is a sacred romance. It's an affair of the heart. It's a love relationship that we're invited into. And I have to tell you, I am so glad that before I became a priest, before I joined the seminary, I had relationships with women. Now, I'm not saying that I was Don Juan and I had all, you know, hundreds of them, but I had enough to help me. And what these relationships with women did is they opened me up to my capacity, for my capacity to love and to receive love. And this is really important. I received love from my parents, that was good, and my friends, that was good. But there's something special about a love relationship with a woman that, I mean, fidelity and loyalty and commitment and intimacy and depth of heart, sharing of self, like I never knew before. And I can remember one time, for example, I was in my car with my girlfriend. It was, I think I was a senior in high school. And, you know, we had been dating for months, and we sat there. I've never done this with anybody else before in my life, but we sat there in the car, and we looked into each other's eyes for 5 minutes straight. 5 minutes looking into each other's eyes. That the intimacy, the vulnerability, the honesty, the depth, the nakedness, as we shared our souls with each other, it was beautiful, and I'll never forget it. And I realized that I was falling in love with that woman. And similarly, God shares Himself with us. You see, I was developing the capacity to love intimately and to be loved by God intimately by my relationships. That, by the way, is what Christian marriage is. You know, you love your spouse, you have children, and you share yourself. And what that does is it opens you up to the capacity to know and to love God more fully. Marriage is but a symbol of what all of us are invited to, and that is a depth relationship with God. And so I want you to consider all the relationships that you've ever been in. And really what they are is a foretaste and a broadening of your heart to be able to receive love and to give love in perhaps ways that you never have. So what this did is, all my relationships prior to my rebirth and coming to the Lord and now my religious life, is it gave me some depth and some capacity for intimacy and commitment and sharing of self and loyalty and fidelity and, you know, all the things that I've been talking about. And this is exactly what Christianity is. It's an affair of the heart. It's a sacred romance, and it's a love relationship. Wow, has this changed my life? Wow, has the Holy Spirit changed my life? And this Spirit is there for you. You see, we were made for love and to be loved, to be appreciated, and no one loves you like the Holy Spirit. Get in touch with the love of your life within. And don't be afraid of silence, because I really believe that silence is the language of love. Remember what I said? I looked into my girlfriend's eyes and she looked into mine. We didn't need to say a word. That oftentimes happens with married couple after they've been married for years. They used to talk all the time, you know, when they dated, but after you've been married for years, you don't need to say anything. You can look into the, you can just be with your spouse and, you know, share love in silence. So a lot of people, when they pray and they don't sense anything, they think, well, the Holy Spirit's not really with me because I don't feel anything or hear anything or see anything. One saint said that what prayer is, that I look at God and God looks at me. And that's exactly what it is, a love affair. I want to share with you some words by a Jesuit priest named Pedro Arrupe. He said that nothing is more practical than finding and falling in love with God. What you are in love with, what seizes your imagination, will affect everything. It will decide what will get you out of bed in the morning, what you'll do with your evenings, how you spend your weekends, what you read, who you know, what breaks your heart, what amazes you with joy and gratitude. Fall in love, stay in love. It will decide everything. You see, when we talk about love, there's a difference between loving God and falling in love with God. I mean, what happens is, your wills become one. Your heart becomes one. You burn with desire for God. You have a new passion. You see, the Spirit is the source of passion. The Spirit brings creativity and ambition and fire into your life. So I invite you to consider a love relationship with God and falling in love with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus did teach us, love God with all your heart. That's the first commandment. Love God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And if you read the Bible, you'll see that there's something called the Song of Songs. And it was written by King Solomon, we believe. And listen to some of these verses. Your love is better than wine. So in other words, God's love is intoxicating. You don't have to get drunk. The Bible says, get drunk with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then another verse, your love has ravished my heart. So in other words, there's an ecstasy. Remember I was talking about the glory and the goosebumps and the chills. This is oftentimes what people feel when they start to date for the first time. You can have that with God. And then, I am my beloved's and his desire is for me. There's a desperation in God's love. You don't have to watch Desperate Housewives to find love. You can find love in your relationship with God. And then, of course, this comes from the Song of Songs. Set me as a seal upon your heart, for your love is stronger than death. So in other words, God's love will never end. It's stronger than death. It's eternal. It's undying. It's passionate. It is intimate. And it's unconditional. So I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit and realize the Spirit of God is a person, not just a power, although a power comes, and I'll talk about that in another program, but the Spirit of God is the person of God who lives in you.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.